Yeah, it's been, I had a look, it's been more than 3 years since we looked at the subject of giving in the church. And can I be honest here? I mean, it's at least in part because I don't like preaching on it. You see, I've been in churches where giving seems to be raised above pretty much anything else in the life of the church. And it often feels, or to me, it felt like guilt, manipulation, pressure are used in order to get the desired results. You know, kind of like, you will give, you will give. Maybe that's just me. But also, in some ways, it's difficult for a pastor or a leader to speak on giving because there is potentially a conflict of interest, isn't there? When, you know, if I, please, you know, we need to be able to pay my salary. But I feel freer preaching about this now because it's not my salary anymore. I don't get paid. So I can now, on behalf of Stephen, who does still get paid, unless you don't want to. But anyway, that's the joy of, I feel free to be able to speak about that without that feeling of, you know, self-serving that may be in there. But I do believe that an understanding of giving is really important, despite my reticence for some reasons. And it maybe it's even crucial to our spiritual walk with God. And it also, here at CBBC, if you are a member, it is something that you've signed up to as well, is giving. I think, let's put it up on the screen. This is what you signed up to, whether you know it or not. Clause 5.3 of our constitution says that we will contribute financially regularly according to ability and with regard to the biblical principle of first fruits to the support of the church. I don't know. Maybe I'd word that differently a little bit now, but I don't know. But the heart, that, you know, we give. That's just part of who we are. Now, before I go on too far, I should say that today is Pentecost Sunday. Traditionally, in the life of the church for the past 2,000 years, and it was planned that Julie would speak. Well, actually, it was just planned that Julie would speak, but that hasn't happened. And she's speaking on the Holy Spirit, but as I say, we're hoping that she'll be able to speak in a couple of weeks on that. But I think it may be timely for us to actually look at this is about giving, and maybe it flows into the gift of the Holy Spirit. Maybe there's a connection. But I think more than that, over the past couple of weeks, and also when Julie does get to speak, there is also the ebb and the flow, the relationship, the dance of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, which I think may come out of the message. If it doesn't, then I've got it wrong this morning because that's what my notes take me. So we'll hopefully get there. So before, again, I go too far ahead, I want to ask those particularly who have been Christians for a while, how do you base your giving? How do you decide what you're going to give? What do you base your giving on? I mean, 10% non-negotiable. You can't change it. It's in the Bible, 10% of everything. And I can't change it just because I stand up and preach something different, which for those who have been in the church a little bit of time, you may remember there have been discussions around that between Julie and myself. A what? Fixed and variable. Okay, so you've got like a starting principle, but then there's the relationship, there's the working out on top of that. Does that? Yeah. Yeah.
But, you know, like God has made someone. there's the excitement of going above and beyond the 10%, is that God may lay someone or something on your heart, and so you give spontaneously because the Spirit has just spoken to you about that. And I think you're probably going to talk about the joy of giving, but that certainly is where that comes in for me.
Yes, the joy of giving between gritted teeth. I am joyful that my bank account's emptying at this stage. I will be joyful. No, yeah.
It's a combination of things sometimes. It's funds, a commitment they've put in there, goods, yourself.
Yes, it isn't just about finances. And the letter that we're looking at today, or the passage that we're looking at today, is particularly about finances, but you're absolutely right. I want you to be thinking about gifts and talents, your being, your contribution, to the world, to the church. Giving is more than just finances, but often, I've said this before, often finances are the thing. It's what we work for a lot of our life. It's what we need in order to buy and sell. It's something pretty close to us. And if we're honest, it can, giving can be, all right, And there is a sense with giving, particularly with finances, that if we give, we're going to have less. Because if you've got 100 of something and you give 10 of those things away, you're left with 90, which is less than what you started with. And so there is that feeling, I'm going to have less. And working out what that means can be interesting. Anyway, we're coming back to all of that. So a little bit of context. In the scripture that we read earlier, Paul is writing to the Gentile even. Maybe they were gentle too. But anyway, the Gentile church in Corinth, in Greece, about a few matters. But in this part that we're looking at, he's instructing them on giving, and in particular, they're giving to support their brothers and sisters, the church community in Jerusalem. And they're facing religious persecution for being followers of Jesus. And thus, they're being shunned from being able to work, trade, participate in daily life. They're finding it, really hard. And actually, earlier on, you'll see that they gave away all their money because they thought Jesus was coming back the following, pretty quickly. And they gave away and they ended up not having anything. But they gave it to set up these churches in Corinth and around the place. They gave joyfully. But I bet they weren't feeling so joyful at this stage where we're getting the letters basically saying, they're kind of almost, it doesn't say this, but they're almost like, oops, we gave away too much. we gave away. But anyway, we'll have a little look at that in a minute. So although Paul is writing to a specific group of people about a specific situation, he does seem to be laying out a foundational principles, let's say, about giving that hopefully we can learn from. Before we look at the scripture, there's a little bit more context I want to remind you of. In the Old Testament, we've already alluded to this, there was the expected act of tithing, which was the giving of 10%, and there were various other offerings and of a few percent here and bits and pieces there. And it wasn't all about money, it was about grain, it was about animals and whatever. Whatever increase they saw, they were to bring the best of to the storehouse for the benefit of the community and those in need, but also for the benefit of those who were leading the religious acts and the works, and so that they didn't have to work, they could be leading the church all the time. You get what I'm saying? So they eventually, though, like with every rule or law that was part of the Old Testament, part of the covenant, they got kind of like rigid with it. I mean, Jesus does refer to it at some point. He says, look, you guys, you even count out the cumin and the all the grains individually, and just so that you don't break the law. You're getting just so, you know, focused on the exact thing. You're losing your heart attitude. And you've got to concentrate on your heart attitude. Don't stop giving, but make sure you're looking at your heart, is what Jesus says about it. But Paul is very strong on the fact that he doesn't like anything that smells of the law. He really doesn't. If you have a look at this passage, not that one, he didn't write that, but this one in Galatians, this is Paul writing to the Galatians. Christ has set us free to live a free life. So take your stand. Never again let anyone put a harness of slavery on you. I'm emphatic about this. The moment any one of you submits to circumcision or any other rule-keeping system, at that same moment, Christ's hard-won gift of freedom is squandered. I repeat my warning, the person who accepts the ways of circumcision trades all the advantages of the free life in Christ for the obligations of the slave life of the law. I think that's pretty strong. Personally, I think there's... I mean, he was pretty emphatic. I think this says he does not like anything that ties people to the rules and regulations of the old law that they were living under. So why do we still do that as a church? Why do we still start with our 10%? Because you don't trust me. We'll come back to that. I don't trust me either. So that's good. We are in agreement here. I need some guidelines. And you've heard me say before, I was born without a conscience, so I married one. So, anyway, I've got nothing. So, basically, living under the rules and laws of the old covenant, they were like a red rag to Paul. He doesn't tolerate anything that didn't bring freedom from those old laws and rules. So, the idea of tithing and this literal 10% and counting out exactly what that is, it wouldn't have brought him joy. Let's just say that. I think the statement that he wrote to the Galatians probably is a bit more emphatic than that, but you get where he would be coming from. So let's have a look at the passage now that we are talking about. I'm actually not going to spend too much time on this because I want to make it practical. I want to talk about the reality of how we give after. So I'm going to go through it fairly quickly. But I think most of it's fairly obvious on there. So, oh, there we go. No, that was me. That was the one I did speak about earlier. There we go. Yes, that was me. It was me. Okay, go on to the next one, and there we go. So first of all, we start off, the point is this, the one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. The one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. So there is a correlation here between sowing and reaping, between agriculture. In fact, if you look through the Bible, that's from beginning to end. That's very clear that there's... So he's continuing some of the thinking that they would understand. And don't forget, they lived in an agricultural society, so they were growing their crops, and the more that they were able to have some more land or some more seed, the more they were able to grow, the more harvest they had. And so if they only had a few seeds to sow, they're not going to get much of a harvest. And he's likening that to the way of giving, that there's a generosity attached to it. But I'm not going to go into too much into generosity because that's Russell's subject next week on there. So go on. So this is an interesting one. Each of you must give as you have made up your mind, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. So how much time do we spend making up in our mind what we are going to give. Because I do think one of the dangers of tithing, of the 10% method, particularly where we do it through direct debit directly from our bank into the church bank, you just give. It just goes out. Have you made up your mind, or are you just, is this talking about making up your mind once and then never having to make it up again? And also, if we're not living under the law, why did you decide on 10%? Is it just because that's what's written, other people do? Or is it because that's what God has said to you? That's what you can afford? That's what you want to do? That's the one that you kind of think, oh, I've ticked that box? So there is, by implication, that you actually, it's a conscious decision. It's something that you think about and talk about with your spouse, don't we, Julie? As I've learnt. So, and also the not reluctantly or under compulsion yet, as well. That's why I say I don't like that. I don't like this sense of, do you know, it doesn't actually feel like giving if it feels like it's being stolen from me. I can't, maybe it's not, but that's a bit what it feels like. If I'm made to give, it feels like a tax or something that is, I don't know, you're having your arm twisted. It's like somebody, it's not quite the same as somebody pointing a gun at your head, but you kind of like feel a bit like that at times. And I don't know that that's, well, I do know that that's not what giving is supposed to be like. And this verse does say that, because it shouldn't be under compulsion. God loves us to, out of the abundance of our heart, out of our relationship, surely it's out of that. Next one. God is able to provide you with every blessing in abundance, so that by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good work. Okay, so this is starting to bring the idea in that God's giving it to you anyway. He's able to provide for you abundantly. He's able to do that. So why is there the reluctance? Why is there a tension if God is doing that for you and giving you abundantly? And he's saying, as you give, so it makes room for his abundance in there. So by always having enough of everything, you may share abundantly in every good word and work. And that's talking about, you know, as God has given to you, you're able to, there's margin in your life in the area of finances. Now, I'm also aware, I will just say, I am aware that there are seasons in lives where that, you know, every cent, every dollar is tough and it's hard. And I do, please, as you're listening to the message, hear the heart of what it's talking about. It's the attitude. And there are some times where giving it, you know, it is such a struggle. But there's still an attitude, even in that situation, you can have of wanting to be generous. Julie and I have known some people, a number of people. We've spent time out in Africa as well. It is incredible to me, the generosity of people. People will go out, they don't have anything, but they will go out into for miles and go and get some bananas or something from their place to come back and give, just because they want to express their gratitude and thanks for something. And it's that kind of heart. Even if we don't actually have cash, there's still ways of expressing and showing that, you know, generosity and giving and having that heart that is in there. Let's go on. So this is again where he talks about he supplies seed to the sower and bread for food. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing and increase the harvest of your righteousness. So even the seed, God will give you. That's what it's saying. Even the seed. So when we're looking at giving, there seems, if God is able to give abundantly, but I'm only giving the minimum, there seems to be a link between God being able to pour out to us. It's like the measure of what we do. It said earlier, the measure of what we give is what we're able to receive, and he's able to grow and multiply it. So why do we have this battle in our minds and hearts often in the area of giving when it's all from him anyway? Go on. And again, sorry, one more. You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us. So, as he's saying to the church in Corinth, he's saying that as they give and are generous, they will be enriched in every way. It seems to be that the giving of finances here doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to get finances back. They're going to, well, possibly, but it's talking about their whole life is going to be enriched because of their generous hearts. And, which I think is amazing, it will produce thanksgiving to God. So, as they give over there in Corinth, as the people, in Corinth give over there in Jerusalem, it's creating praise to God. So it's not just the blessing that they're getting. God is blessed because the people who are being given to, it's going to produce thanksgiving in their hearts as well. Okay, go on. The rendering of this ministry not only supplies the needs of the saints, but also overflows with many thanksgivings to God. That's a repeat of, you know, the fact that it's actually going to bring thanksgiving to God out of their generosity. Go on. Okay. Through the testing of this ministry, you glorify God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ. That particular part, there is an act of generosity that comes out of the confession of the gospel of Christ. What does that say to you? What do you think that's talking about? What is their obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ? Isn't it their salvation? It's their knowledge. I mean, the confession of the gospel of Christ is because of their salvation. This is a natural thing that's coming out of them. So by giving, you are glorifying God by your obedience to the confession of the gospel of Christ. It is actually out of the abundance of the joy of their salvation that they are, that they are giving. And by the generosity of your partnership with them and with all others. That's the last one, isn't it? That's on that? Okay. While they long for you and pray for you. Okay. So as they give, the people that they're giving to are praying for them. Okay? So there's a number of concepts there. We will look at these. But there is a thing, obviously, about it giving them the blessing coming back to them in different ways. There's the fact of it comes out of their salvation. There's a number of things that are coming out of this, the act of giving. But the danger I find in potentially of replacing the thought of tithing, which is this fixed 10% 5% with another model is that we're humans. And it becomes very formulaic to us. We like rules. We like simplicity. I don't know about you, but I just like somebody to tell me what to do. I do. It's just easy. Then I can ignore it. But I like to know what the rules and the boundaries are. But the pull of that is it takes you back to the law, and it gets you. So if you follow this system, okay, it's formulaic. If I give, I'm going to receive. Okay, I can. That's a nice formula. I like that. And if I give, God gives me seed, and as I give it, therefore I'm going to get back given to me, and there's going to be joy over here, and I'm going to. So it becomes a formula almost in itself. Again, it's different. It's not just I give 10% and I come back, but there are like cause and effect things that make you think, oh yeah, okay, I can live within that. And particularly my personality, I could very easily then just fall into, okay, now I know these principles and do that. But we've been the difficulty is, if we get the understanding, which I believe is there, if I give, then I am going to get back more. Doesn't that just lead to the prosperity gospel? Isn't that what it leads to? It leads to, it's almost a pyramid scheme, isn't it, really, if you think about the prosperity gospel. Is it? Pyramid scheme. Okay.
Sorry. What I was trying to say is that the giving that you were talking about, the pyramid scheme is the wrong picture of what that.
Yes. 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 Yeah. I get that.
It's more like, just eat protein and lose weight. If you give money, you get more money.
Yes. If you give money, you're going to get more money. If I eat this, if I eat just protein, I'll lose weight. All of those things. Yes, exactly that. It just becomes like a scheme. And it almost like your preachers can then say to you, okay, look, if you give to my ministry, I'm going to get blessed, but you're going to get blessed even more. That's what it leads to, doesn't it? You, yes. If you buy me a jet, you can all have a jet. But let's start with me on there. But there is, you know, that is, let's be honest, a lot of us have been around churches for quite a long time. That's the reality of, you know, the prosperity gospel. It can't be that formulaic. It can't be. That can't be when Jesus is washing the feet of his disciples and talking about servanthood. How does that link to, you know, oh yeah, if you want more, you know, if you want to have 100 or something, make sure you give 10 away and it will come back to you. It's not about that. I can't see that. I just can't see that. So let's just stop for a minute and consider what we've been looking at over the past couple of weeks, and then have a little glance at this again. Let me see if I can do the hand movements like the party animal. Yeah, was it? Yeah, it wasn't quite like that. Give me a night to remember. Okay. But there's a flow, the ebb and the flow of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. It's like a dance that's going on in relationship. And it's that dance that we are invited into. John 17, I got it in again. John 17. But that's what we are invited into. It's this relationship between the Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and us, where there is this ebb and flow and dance of submission and building others up and then leadership in an area, but being servant at the same time. It's it's like contradictory, but in tandem and in harmony, this relationship that goes on between the Father and the Son, sacrificial love that is there, and servanthood, and all of these things that come out of this relationship. Now, I think that when you look at at what we've been looking at here, I think that's actually what Paul is trying to communicate to us. He's talking about that relationship. He is saying to us, out of the joy of our salvation, out of, as we have that relationship with God, the natural thing is for us to want to be able to give. And don't you realize that as you give out of that, then the person over there is going to be blessed. You may have, that person doesn't have at this time. There's this ebb and the flow. It's out of relationship. So as out of your abundance, out of your giving, your heart to give, over there is going to be blessed. But while they are being blessed, they're going to give thanks to God, and worship is going to start because they're praising God because you have given. And out of that, they're also going to start praying for you, and you are going to be blessed because of the prayers that they are giving you and making for you. And in your time of need, they're going to be blessed because God is constantly giving and blessing and pouring out. And that same giving that he is doing and pouring out to them, that's getting into their hearts. And yet they're going to give to you in your time of need. And you're going to give up thanks to God and to praise him and to lift his name on high. That's what it's talking about. That's where the giving is. It isn't, and it can never be, about rules and regulations. There are principles in there. As we give, God does multiply it. God, that's a principle that's in there. But if our life, if we live on the principle and remove the relationships, that's where the danger comes. Actually, I think I'm learning. That's what I think is happening in all of the things, the big questions of life that I'm beginning to look at in our relations with people who potentially we have conflict with as well. I think it's similar kind of thing. The moment I take relationship out of it, the relationship that God is calling us to, the moment I do that, I'm in danger of making it rules and regulations and not about this dance that God has created humanity to have with him, with the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, which he's modeling all of the time, 24 hours a day, that we're invited into. And our giving, our life of giving must be part of that. It is a natural response. The God who gives, the God who sacrificed everything, the God who was the sacrifice for everything, the God who points everyone to Jesus, the God who is the gift to us all in order to guide us in all truth. The gift is going to constantly cause us to be so grateful for what God is doing in our life that we're going to give out of that. Why would we do anything else? You see, and I think when we begin to think like that, what happens to 10%? Doesn't it sometimes feel, or isn't there the potential that you think, no, it's not dirty, but I think the tithing, the 10%, can remove the relationship that we're called to have. Now, just to finish off with the thinking, I want to tell you about us, because I don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. My baby. Sorry, I just thought of my granddaughter. I will just quickly tell you, my granddaughter phoned me last night. She was doing like this apparently on the phone. Suddenly I have this little child, 9 months old, and then going at me. But anyway, that's another matter. I think her father taught her that. But then my daughter-in-law comes on and she's like, did you phone her? Or did, I said, no. And she'd called her papa. So I was a recipient of her first phone call, as it should be. But anyway, 1 month today, I get to see her. So, not that I'm counting, but 1 month today, I do get to see her. Where was I? I'm there now, sorry. 10%. Yes. I'm going to tell you about Julie and myself. Look, I know my human nature. It is human, most of the time. And I think we do have to have something that... I know I need something to make sure that it happens, if I'm honest, because I know what I'm like. And so tithing for us is a non-negotiable. And it is. It's 10% of what we receive. And to be honest, I do look at things like what we've done is when we bought a house and sold it, we've tithed on that, and that's sometimes difficult, particularly in the current climate where everything's just shot up in price, but that's what we have decided to do. And sometimes it's not about needing to give, it's actually break something in me, because my natural thing would be, that's a silly thing to do. But you know, one of the things about this verse, the giving in it is actually the same word for the cheerful, is hilarity. That's where it comes from. It does. It's the Lord loves a cheerful giver. Sometimes it makes no sense. And I think there's an element of that in the giving. It doesn't make sense. I wouldn't tell you to do that, but that's what we have found works. And also, I've also been thinking as well, I want to be able, when I die, I also realize that there will be an estate left over. And yes, I want my kids to be blessed, but there'll be an element of that which I want to give from as well. So even in my will, and that's just the way that I want to be able to make sure that I give. Now, do I feel, am I under the law? I don't know. You tell me. Yeah. There's certain boundaries that we all have. I mean, somebody, you know, who's an alcoholic knows that they can't touch drink. I need certain boundaries in my life, because if I didn't have them, I'm sure we're all like that. If we didn't have any boundaries, if you could do anything at any time and money was no object, probably most of us wouldn't be here. We'd have, I don't know. Yes, you would. You would unravel. You've got to have boundaries. And I know for me, the tithing is actually a safeguard in my life. But it isn't the only act of giving that we do. I have to say, in the life of this church, the past 2 years, Julie and I have been talking about, maybe it's even longer than that, but we've known that we've needed a congregational pastor here. But we also have known that we get paid and we take the salary from you guys. And so over a period of time, we've been praying about it, talking about it, how can we do this, and agreeing together and working out. So it wasn't just a one-off thing. It's something that we've been praying and working to for a number of years to get to the position where we can do that. Currently, I'll be straightforward, I've been trying to think of how we can get the play area across the line. Okay, what part can I play in that? How can we do that? Because I can just see it's going to be so important as we set up the DV, working with the DV, to have a place of safety where the kids can play while the mums and are debriefing and chatting, and a safe place where they can be. I can just see the importance of it. So, I mean, I spend a lot of time thinking, okay, perhaps we can do this or there's that. And I'm talking personally, not the church. I'm talking about what's my role in this. How do I connect in with that? It's just so I do have the rules of the 10%, but then I also have the other things beyond, and thinking, okay, God, how are we going to do this? How are we going? What's it you're saying to me? And determining in my heart, and in Julie and my heart, agreeing together, and then working towards that to see it happen. And I have to say, my motivation is my response to my salvation and my desire to see others find their salvation too. And I found, I mean, some of you will know, my generosity in the area of to people I wouldn't normally necessarily agree with or find connection with. Again, over the past few years, I've tried to have a generosity of spirit towards people that I wouldn't have had necessarily before. But you know, the interesting thing is I've found that as I've had that, there's no longer a reticence or a reluctance. Over time, you actually begin to get a love. And it's weird how that happens. So initially there's this, oh no, that's evil, wrong, or whatever. But then as you start believing and praying or hoping for the God, you realize it's as much about you that you need to change, but also God seems to work in you and you actually grow a love for people that you used to not, you know, in there. And I think the same comes with our giving and our generosity of life. It has to be in this relationship. And I really do believe that this is what Paul is talking about in this passage. I would say it hasn't always been easy to give. Again, some of you will know the story that Julie and I, we actually set up a business in order to make or to generate finances for God's kingdom. And we had some friends and various other people that invested a fair bit of money into that. And it was generating money. It just began to do that. And then the global financial crisis came and we lost everything, and including their money. But what do you do when that happens? What's your response? Your response is either, oh, well, that's it. I'm not going to give anymore. And I'm just going to stop. And I'm not going there again. Or it's this way of living, this relationship with God is either true or it's not. This making him central, going into this dance with him, is either everything or it's not. It's not a half-hearted thing. It can't be about rules and regulations, just following principles. It can't be about that. Because we are in danger of coming back under the law when we've got this life of freedom that we're supposed to be living. So I am in that dance. I want to be in that dance moving forward in that relationship. I do have a joy when I'm able to give. It's a way that God has, it's been a journey and it's still ongoing. It really is. The battle that we humans have in our minds in the area of finances of, as I said earlier, there's this thing of if I give, I'm going to have less. But yet, you know, sometimes we do give and God pours back to us. But then at other times, I've lost everything. But with all of those things, I can tell you, Julie and I, our testimony of our life is God loves to give to us. It's nothing to give finances to him. It's absolutely, in the scheme of life, in eternity, I bet all of us are going to look back and think, oh, if I had understood that, why wasn't my heart in that generous place? Anyway, let's pray. Lord, I do thank you that you give. Lord, we know that you gave your son. We know that he gave his life. We know that your son gave us and sent us the Holy Spirit to be guided in all truth and to know what it is to live how you want us to live. In the fullness of life, in freedom. Lord, I pray that you would work in our hearts in the area of giving. It isn't about percentages or about money per se, but it's about entering the dance with you, entering that relationship, allowing our hearts to be broken for situations and for people, and understanding that finances and time and energy and resources takes part of seeing things change. Lord, I pray that this church would continue to be known as a generous church. Lord, I thank you that it is, but Lord, I pray that it would continue to be. And Lord, I pray that we would learn more, because I believe in the days, months, years to come, I've got a sense that there's going to be a call for us to step things up, just in our own personal lives, but because the world is going to need it. It's going to need it modelled, but it's going to need it because I think we can all see the signs of future events affecting humanity even more than they perhaps have. Lord, I thank you for your provision. I thank you for your Son. And Lord, particularly today, Pentecost Sunday, Lord, I thank you for giving us the gift of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, I pray for each person here that your Spirit may guide us, may lead us, may come to all of those who need it with healing in his wings. When the Holy Spirit comes, he comes as a comforter. Lord, for all those who are mourning and grieving, Lord, I think particularly also of David Dawes this week, Lord, knowing that his son is at his last days on this earth as well. Lord, there's a lot of grief around. But Lord, your Spirit comes to bring comfort. Lord, we receive your Spirit. Thank you, Lord. Amen.